December, the first day of January, to give you thanks. Blessed be your name. Jesus' marvelous name we pray. Please let me congratulate your neighbor on your right and left. Say to your neighbor, it's a new day for you. Congratulate them on your right and on your left. Congratulate them on your right and on your left. Magnify his name and exalt him in Jesus' precious name. Put those hands together for the Lord and please be seated. Prophetic focus for the month of June. Spiritually, we have entered the month of June already. We have entered the month of June already because our spiritual headquarters has already entered the month of June. And if our spiritual headquarters has entered the month of June, it means we have spiritually entered the month of June. And the prophetic focus for the month of June is a season of glory. This month, you will see experience glory. Amen. This month, you will experience glory. Amen. This month, you will experience glory. Amen. In the name of Jesus Christ. And our teaching series for this month, beginning tonight, is engaging the power of passion in stewardship. Engaging the power of passion in stewardship. We are going to begin tonight with the prophetic scripture for the month, for the midweek services, which is John chapter 2, verses 13 to 17. He said, Jesus and the Jews, Passover was at hand. Jesus went up to Jerusalem and found in the temple those that sold oxen and sheep and doves and the changers of money sitting. And when he had made a scourge of small cords, he drove them out of the temple and the sheep and the oxen and poured out the changers' money and overthrew the tables and said unto them that sold doves, take these things hence, make not my Father's house an house of merchandise. And his disciples remembered that it was written, the zeal of thine house hath eaten me up. The zeal of thine house hath eaten me up. And another word for zeal is passion. As a matter of fact, I took a look at it in the CEB translation. Verse 17 of that scripture says, his disciples remembered it is written, passion for your house consumes me. Passion for your house consumes me. Where there is zeal, it is born out of passion. Everywhere you see zeal, it is born out of passion. But let me clarify further. Zeal is dedication or enthusiasm for something. Zeal is dedication or enthusiasm for something. Passion, on the other hand, is an intense emotional response. Zeal is enthusiasm or dedication for something. Passion is an intense emotional response. And it simply means when we are enthusiastic or dedicated to something, which is zeal, it will result in our passion. Or our passion may result in our zeal. So it can be interchanged. And that simply means that both can be misused if not properly channeled. You can misuse your zeal, you can misuse your passion if it is not properly channeled. For example, take a look at what Paul said. Philippians chapter 3, verses 5 and 6. He said, circumcise the eighth day of the stock of Israel,
of the tribe of Benjamin, an Hebrew. Paul was speaking about himself, an Hebrew of the Hebrews, as touching the law, a Pharisee, concerning zeal, persecuting the church. I have zeal, but I'm persecuting the church. Verse 6. Okay. Persecuting the church, touching the righteousness which is in the law, blameless. In other words, whatsoever I am doing, Paul said, I cannot be more Hebrew than I am. The Hebrew of the Hebrews, I cannot be more Hebrew than I am, and vast in the law, which means the law is the reason for my zeal. I am an Hebrew, I know the law, and the law is the reason for my zeal. But my zeal was wrongly channeled. I didn't know that. I was doing that out of ignorance. My zeal was wrongly channeled, but when Paul's passion was channeled right, look at what he said. Every passionate believer is an ever self-motivated individual in stewardship. Every passionate believer, you don't need encouragement. Every passionate believer is a self-motivated believer, is a self-motivated individual in stewardship. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 20 to 22. And unto the Jews, this is the same Paul speaking now, and unto the Jews, I became a Jew, that I might gain the Jews. To them that are under the law, as under the law, that I might gain them that are under the law, I became a Jew. And then to them that are without the law, as without the law, be not without the law to God, but under the law to Christ, that I might gain them that are without the law, to the weak became I as weak, that I might gain the weak. I am made all things to all men, that I might by all means save some. In other words, Paul was simply saying, I will be everything to everyone because of my passion. As long as the goal is met, it doesn't matter to me the process. As long as the end result is received, the end result is gotten. I don't care what process it takes, but my passion, I will be humble enough to be able to achieve my passion. A passion begins with humility. Those who are self-motivated by passion sustain it by humility. Until you are humble enough, you cannot say, I am passionate. Paul said, to them that are this, I will become like them. Not everybody will become like others. Paul said, to them that are that, I will become like them. To the weak, I will become weak. Some of us will say, why are you so weak? You should be stronger than this. Paul said, because I need to win them, I need to gain them. For the weak, I become weak. For the strong, I become strong. For those who are without the law, I become without the law. Those who are self-motivated by passion, get it by humility, sustain it in humility. Philippians 2, look at what Jesus said. Look at what scripture said, even Paul speaking. Philippians 2, verses 5 to 9. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, He humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. He served and served until he served with his life. He served and served until he gave his life. Passion is the reason we are not tired in service. Passion is the reason we are not tired in service. Passion fuels consistency and steadfastness in stewardship. Passion is the reason when you are no longer the head of the unit, you don't care. Your service does not reduce because it does not reduce anything from you. Your service does not reduce because you are not serving because of the position. You are serving because you love him. There are people, now that you are not there anymore, I don't have time. I don't have time again. My work is taking me to this one, is taking me to that one, is taking me to this one. And then you don't have time again. And then you are not able to serve again. Service does not, to the passionate, it does not matter. He just wants to serve his God no matter what. Oh, glory to God. I said, glory to God. Philippians 3, 7 to 8. Paul still speaking. Passionate Paul. Philippians 3, 7 to 8. He says, but what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus. Thy Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ. In other words, Paul seems to say, my passion is the reason nothing matters to me. If I lose some things, I'm losing them for Christ. As long as there is a loss for Christ, it is still gain to me. It doesn't matter to me anymore because I'm dead in Christ. What others count loss, I count gain. It was not easy, but I received grace for it. It's not easy, but I received strength for it. It's not easy, but I receive help for it. So in Acts 26 and verse 22, Paul still speaking, having therefore obtained help of God, I continue unto this day, witnessing both to small and great, saying none other things than those things that prophets and Moses did say should come. No matter what is going on, my service will not have a pause. My service will not stop. Because it does not matter what name you give me. My name is not associated with service. Service is associated with God. And I will only be rewarded by what I do for God. Not my name that is associated with the service. Paul said, I don't care. I'm still serving. No matter what it is, I will still go on. I will still go on with all what I'm doing. What others call loss, I count gain. Passion is not born out of a gift. Passion is born out of love. Have you ever seen anybody that says, I have a gift for service? I have a gift for choir. Glory to God. No. Nobody has a gift for nothing. You just have love for God. And what you are doing, you will just do it naturally. It's not born out of gifts. It's born out of love. Glory to God. When you truly love your spouse, you serve them. It's not a gift. It is love. Passion is born out of love and not out of gift. Nobody is gifted to serve. We are all privileged to serve. How we serve is now our decision. We are not gifted to serve. We are privileged to serve. 1 Kings chapter 19 and verse 10. For those who are there at the covenant hour of prayer this morning, We spoke about this. The prophet speaking, he said, and he said, I have been very jealous for the Lord God of hosts. For the children of Israel have forsaken thy covenant, thrown down thine altars, and slain thy prophets with the sword. And I, even I, only am left, and they seek my life to take it. And then he repeated it again in verse 14. And he said, I have been very jealous for the Lord God of hosts, because the children of Israel have forsaken thy covenant, thrown down thine altars, and slain thy prophets with the sword. And I only am left, and they seek my life. But God corrected him. He said, no, you are not the only one left. I have 7,000 that have not bowed their heads to Baal. Well, what the prophet was simply saying is that I don't know the plans you have, but right now I feel I'm the only one remaining. So when in our service, and I got an understanding, I told them at the covenant hour of prayer this morning, in our service, it is not like if I'm not there, it won't happen. If you are not there, it will happen. Our mentality should be, if I'm not there, I don't know if there will be anybody there to do it. If you are not there, you were not there before it was happening. You will not be there again, it will still happen. It's not about you. It's not about me. Listen to me. If I drop the microphone now and say I'm not preaching again, the church will grow bigger. Why? God will just raise up someone that is unknown. Someone that is not a pastor, that is not a deacon, that is a brother, just to shamify me. To say, you say you are not doing again, I will show you something. That I don't need you. You are just a privilege. The prophet said, I'm the only one remaining. God said, no. Change that language. You are not the only one remaining. I have 7,000 more. Get this mentality out of your head that if I'm not there, it will not work. It will work better when we are not there. Glory to God. I'm not hearing your hallelujah again. Glory to God. The prophet said, I am jealous. You can only be jealous for the one you love. Somebody is talking to your wife and then you are getting closer. What are they talking about there? Oh, you look beautiful. Eh? Glory to God. Oh my God, you look so beautiful. And then you are there, you are watching. Your blood is boiling. Why? You have not been telling your wife you look beautiful. So as you are driving home, oh, you look sweet, girl. But who is that guy? Glory to God. You are jealous. Why? Because of your love for the person. The prophet said, I am jealous for you. Not for me, but for you. The kind of jealousy David had for God when he killed Goliath. Hey! What's going on here? They said they want to kill the people. They want, this guy is abusing the armies of God. And then he became jealous for his God. And that was what brought the passion in him. And said, I will kill him. What is passion? Very quickly. Let's take a look at one or two tonight. What is passion? Passion is the spiritual fuel that keeps a believer going after God and the interest of his kingdom. Passion is the spiritual fuel. Is it fuel? They call it of F-U-E-L. You know what I'm talking about, right? Passion is the spiritual gas that keeps a believer going after God and the interest of his kingdom. Jeremiah chapter 20 and verse 9. Then I said, I will not make mention of him, nor speak any more in his name, but his word was in my heart as a burning fire shut up in my bones, and I was weary with forbearing, and I could not stay. I wanted to pause, but I could not, because I couldn't pause, I could not stop. I can't stop serving. The passion in me is what keeps me going. Passion is the fuel that keeps a believer going after God. The passionate cannot be cajoled to serve. The passionate cannot be begged to serve. The passionate is the water of passion, is the water of service that keeps the passionate going. You can't beg, you can't speak to a passionate person to stop. No. No matter how you want them to stop, they keep going. The passionate cannot even pause. You know what? Based on what is going on in this unit right now, I want to take a break. I need my mental, what is it called? Sanity. Mental health. The passionate is not looking for mental health. The passionate knows that what keeps their mental health is in service. The Lord will give us understanding. Amen. Number two, quickly because of time. What is passion? Passion is a product of personal decision. Oh, please take note of this. Passion is a product of personal decision based on personal conviction. Passion is a product of personal decision based on personal conviction. The passionate don't need convincing. Like I said, you can't beg the passionate to serve. You can't coerce them. You can't cajole them. Their decision is as a result of their personal conviction. They have already made up their minds. You can't change it. The passionate have already made up their minds. You cannot. In 2 Chronicles 15, verses 12, the Bible says they made a decision based on their personal conviction. And they entered into a covenant to seek the Lord, God of their fathers, with all their heart and with all their soul. And look at the next thing they did. Because it was personal conviction, it resulted in personal decision. Verse 14, and they swore unto the Lord with a loud voice. They swore with shouting and with trumpets and with cornets. They put themselves under a curse. And the Bible says in verse 15, and Judah rejoiced at the curse they put themselves on. For they had sworn with all their heart and sought him with the whole of their desire, and he was found of them. Passion is a thing of the heart, it's not a thing of the head. Once you are convinced in your heart, nobody can confuse you in your head. Once you are convinced in your heart, nobody, no devil, no human being can confuse you in your head. Decision of the passionate is as a result of the conviction of their heart. Can you ever change somebody's mind? Once somebody's mind is made up, there is nothing you say that can change it. Their mind is made up. Their mind is made up. Even a father cannot change the daughter or the son's mind when his mind is made up. You can't change it. So they will tell you, sir, I appreciate your advice, but let me bear the consequences if this does not work, because I've made up my mind. Glory to God. Somebody's moving to Edmonton now. And then me as pastor, I'm now trying to convince them. Don't move. Edmonton is cold out. Edmonton is colder than Calgary. Abby, is it not? It's colder than Calgary. You don't have to move. Ah, sir. Thank you, sir. We are leaving tomorrow. You can't change it because they've already, their decision is as a result of their conviction. You can't change it. That is passion. Glory to God. Number three, quickly. What is passion? Passion is what keeps a man moving, just like fuel again is to a vehicle. Passion is what keeps us moving, just like gas is to a vehicle. Just as fuel keeps the car moving, passion is the fuel that keeps the believer pursuing after God, even in the midst of adversaries or when it is not convenient. It is passion that keeps the believer moving, pursuing after God, even in the midst of adversaries or when it is not convenient. Every decision Jesus made was born out of passion. Every decision he made was born out of passion. Look at one of them. A woman lost her only son, and she came across Jesus. In Luke chapter 7, verses 11 to 12, the Bible says, "And it came to pass the day after that he went into a city called Nain, and many of his disciples went with him, and much people. Now, when he came nigh to the gate of the city, behold, there was a dead man carried out, the only son of his mother." The only son of his mother. And what did it say? She was a widow, which means there is no hope for another child. And much people of the city was with her. And when the Lord saw her, he had what? Compassion on her. The woman didn't know probably who Jesus was. The woman probably thought that her case was closed. The woman did not approach Jesus. But because of passion, the Bible says Jesus approached her. Go back to that scripture. And when the Lord saw her, he had compassion on her and said to her, "Weep not." And he came and taught the bear, and the bear him stood still. And he said, "Young man, I say unto thee, arise." And he that was dead sat up. Everything dead in your life tonight, by tomorrow morning, in your sleep tonight, they will arise. Amen. And he began to speak, and he delivered him to his mother. He delivered him. The best prayer to pray is the prayer prayed out of passion. Somebody comes to you and they are complaining about stuff, and then passion wears up in you, and then you begin to pray for them out of passion. Before they leave that place, the prayer is answered. Why? Because it is born out of passion. Glory to God. John 11, 32 to 35. That was the prayer Jesus prayed at the tomb of Lazarus. The Bible says, "Then when Mary was come where Jesus was and saw him, she fell down at his feet, saying unto him, Lord, if thou had been here, my brother had not died. When Jesus therefore saw her weeping, and all the Jews also weeping, which came with her, he groaned in his spirit and was troubled. And he said, Where have ye laid him? He said unto him, Lord, come and see. The Bible says what? Jesus wept out of love for the one that died. And then passion rose up in him. The Jews weeping based on passion. And look at the conclusion of the Jews. Verse 36, then said the Jews, behold how he loved him. Passion born out of genuine love. Jesus said, my passion made me forget. My passion has brought me to the tomb. My passion, my love is the reason I am weeping. The reason I am weeping has resurrected passion in me. Lazarus, come forth. The Bible says, and the dead came forth. Don't joke with passion. Those who have passion for God never lose. You can't lose when your passion is true for God, when it is not laced with kona-kona, when it is not laced with what you want, when it is just laced with your passion for God, to say, Lord, it's either you or nothing. Glory to God. Jesus said, passion made me forget food. They said, Lord, have you eaten? Somebody must have given him food to eat. He said, no, I'm no longer hungry. This is my passion. And that what I'm doing now has made me to forget food. Glory to God. You know how you will know you have passion? I will give you an example. A natural example. Channel it to God. Now, some work in organizations, and when your organization calls you at 3 a.m., you see the phone ringing, buzzing. It's 3 a.m. in the morning, and you see Mr. Jones. That's my supervisor. What does he want? At this time, you shut it off. The next day, no, not even the next day, 2 minutes later, your phone starts buzzing again. Oh, that must be Mr. Jones again. But you are just, by the Holy Spirit, you just decided to check. And it is a number you either know or don't know, but you decide to pick it. And it says, oh, are you sister so-so-so? You say, yes. Oh, we need a cake tomorrow morning. We learned that you make cakes. I do. We need a cake tomorrow morning by 7 a.m. All of a sudden, sleep disappears from your eyes. Why? Because that is your passion. They are paying you peanuts for the cake, but you don't care. Your organization is the reason you are existing, but you care for your sleep. The money they will be paying you for the cake is no fraction to what you are being paid by the organization. But you care. Why? It's not about the money. It's about my passion. This is what I care about. And then all of a sudden, sleep disappears and you wake up and then you begin to make the cake. And the cake you are making is the reason you are not even going to your place of work in the morning. I've worked, sir. I don't think I can make it today. Why? I didn't sleep all night. Why didn't you sleep? It is well. Glory to God. I didn't hear your hallelujah. Glory to God. Let me give you an example as we close of the passionate in scriptures. Abraham. Passion turned him to a generational blessing. Abraham. Genesis 12 verses 1 to 3. Passion born out of love resulting in obedience. Genesis 12 and verses 1 to 3. Now the Lord has said unto Abraham, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto a land that I will show thee, and I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing, and I will bless them that bless thee and curse him that curseth thee, and in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. Passion born out of obedience. I was telling them at the covenant hour of prayer, I said, let's take a look critically at this thing. Many of us think, is it not Abraham? Is it not God? Yeah, it's very simple. Now, even me, if I was Abraham, I will obey. Abraham, 75 years old, still living in his father's house. And then all of a sudden, you are saying, leave your father's house. And then the neighbors were asking, where are you going? Abraham said, I don't know. You are going to Mount Fort Mori? Is that what it's called? Fort McMurray? The cold place? Abraham said, I don't know. I think it's the way he's saying it is further. Is it Northwest Territory? And you are living inside this cold? Lot. And you're also following him. Anyway, both of you don't have job anyway. You are living. So it doesn't matter, you can go. They will be ridiculing them. I said to them again, I said, imagine Mary when she got pregnant. Now went to the friends and the father and say, Daddy, or maybe she was throwing up. And the father said, what's wrong with you? You have malaria? She said, no, I'm pregnant. For who? For God. I said, Mary, are you okay? Joseph, come. Were you the one that I pregnant? No. That's why I've also told her I'm not doing again. Because the same story she's telling you is the same story she's telling me. I don't know where she got the pregnancy from. And then they said, the friends. Now, the friends, she's now telling the friends, I'm pregnant too. Mary! How? What happened? Who got you impregnated? God. Mary is sick here. Mary is lying. Mary is sick. Something is going on. Mockery when it comes to obedience of the things of God. People will mock you, but a proof that you love him is obedience. And in obedience, it changes our stories. Rise up on your feet. Let's give him thanks tonight. Give him praise and give him glory. Give him honor and give him adoration. Give him thanks, Father. We worship you. We exalt your name. We glorify you. Thank you, Jesus, for what you've done. Thank you for what you're doing. Thank you, Holy One, for what you will yet do. Blessed and blessed and blessed be your name. In Jesus' most glorious name, we have given thanks. Amen. Well, before we partake of the communion table tonight, somebody wants to say, Lord Jesus, I want to know you as my Lord and my Savior. Someone else wants to say, King of Glory, I want to rededicate my life to you so that my life can be propelled forward. I'm tired of where I am. I just want to move forward. Why not tonight? Online and on ground, you want to say, Lord Jesus, have mercy on me. Why not? Put your right hand on your heart, all heads bowed and all eyes closed. Put your right hand on your heart. Let me quickly pray with you and for you. Online and on ground, put your right hand on your heart. If you are doing that, repeat these words after me. Say with me, Lord Jesus, I've come to you tonight. Save me. Deliver me. Help me, because I cannot help myself. And Lord Jesus, let your name only be glorified in my life. I give myself to you. I yield myself to you. Take absolute control and let your name be exalted. Thank you, Eternal Father. In Jesus' marvelous name we pray. Father, thank you for these precious souls. Your grace brought them. The same grace will preserve them. None of these ones will go back to perdition. They will take root downwards. Bear fruit upwards to the praise and to the glory of your name. Thank you, everlasting Father. In Jesus' most precious name we have prayed. It is done. You said that prayer on ground, wave your hands to Jesus. You said that prayer online, send a text message to the number that is being displayed right now. Somebody will be by your side to assist you. You are blessed. Amen. In Jesus' marvelous name. Stretch forth your hands towards the communion table tonight.